few weeks back, we had started looking at famous characters in the Bible and the Old Testament. So far, we've looked at Adam. Last week, we looked at Abraham, and tonight we're going to look at Joseph, just for a few minutes. Joseph's one of the last people in the book of Genesis. In fact, he's the last person mentioned in Genesis. There are 50 chapters in Genesis. The very last verse in chapter 50 talks about Joseph. So he's the last person mentioned in that first book of the Bible. He's an important character. He is the great-grandson of Abraham, and Joseph is one of the 12 sons of Israel. The thing I always remember about Joseph is that he had great character. It's hard to talk about people in the Bible that have great character and not mention Joseph. He just had great character. And what I mean by that, he handled a lot of really hard situations really well. Joseph faced a lot of things, really hard things, I hope I'll never have to face. And he really handled those well. He had a lot of ups and downs in his life. I think it's also important not only to handle hard things, but he also handled great things. I know people who can handle hard things, but they're not very good at handling good things in their life. But he handled everything really, really well. He has great character. Lots of smart people have written that Joseph is a lot like Jesus. And it's in a way that God wants us to notice. I believe that. Here's what I mean by that. It's that there are things written that Moses wrote about Joseph that really, really show us lots of detailed things about Jesus, even though Jesus lived 1,500, 1,600 years after Joseph. Now, I know that Moses was back here writing about Joseph, and I know that Matthew was over here hundreds and hundreds of years later writing about Jesus. But God wrote the Bible, and God can see things in the life of Jesus that he wanted us to note in the life of Joseph. He is a lot like Jesus in lots of ways. Lots of people have written lots of things about that. So, sure, you can read the Gospels, John and Mark and Luke and Matthew, and learn a lot about Jesus. But another way is to know some key places in the Old Testament, even before Jesus lived, and God will show you some things. You know, Adam said something, Pastor Adam says something Sunday, and it's so true that the Bible is a living book. It's not like other books. It's a living book. It can change us. We can have a relationship with the Word of God. Now, nothing against other books either. I was just thinking about the Hobbit books, the Lord of the Rings books. I bet I've read those three times, and I'd like to read them again soon. I like the story. You know, it's just a good story, and better than the junk on TV. And so I just like to read those books. When I was a kid, I used to like those Ellery Queen mysteries. Ellery Queen was a detective that lived in New York, and he and his dad solved mysteries together. And he had a lot of cases that, you know, he would call everyone in a room, and he would say who did it. I just loved him. But the Bible's different than those books. Now, those are just entertainment. The Bible is a living book. And if we have a relationship with the Bible, it is so much more than any book ever written. You know, the Bible can help us when we're sad. It can help us when we don't know what to do next. The Bible shows us what God thinks or what he said to us. It gives us direction. It can show us how to how we can have our sins forgiven. You can't say that about many books, but the Bible can do that. So it is a living book. And the reason that's important is then you can go to a book like Genesis, even though it was hundreds of years before Jesus, and you can learn some amazing things about Jesus in every book of the Bible. It's a special book. What I want to do tonight is look at just one thing in the life of Joseph that happened near the end of his life. And we could talk a lot about Joseph's life because he had such good character. He was sold as a slave. His brothers didn't. They were mad at him. They were jealous of him, and they wanted to kill him, but they figured out they could get more money if they would just sell him. So they did that. They sold him to a traveling company and just kind of forgot about him. And he handled that well. Well, later on, Joseph was in that country, and he got accused of something he didn't do, and he got thrown into prison, and he handled that well. Well, he got called out of prison, and because of his wisdom, and he can interpret dreams, and obviously God's favor and wisdom was on his life, and he got promoted to actually the second person in the land of Egypt, and he handled that well. Well, later on, he met up with his brothers. And they had changed so much that they didn't recognize Joseph. And that's kind of what the story, where we're going to pick up the story. Because there was a great famine in all the land. And Joseph's wisdom, his leadership, enabled Egypt to save up grain to sell to people like Joseph's brothers who needed it. So one thing led to another, and Joseph told them who he was, and it is just a riveting story, and I hope you would read the last few chapters of Genesis. It's just a phenomenal story of how he revealed himself to his brothers. Well, he had his father come to Egypt too, because he hadn't seen his father in a long time. And except that he said when he saw Israel, that they hugged and just they wept a good long time. He was reunited with his father, but then his father passed away. And when his father passed away, Joseph's brothers were nervous because they think, "Oh no, we're in trouble now." So let's pick up the story. We're going to pick it up in Genesis 50, verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil we did unto him." So you see what they're saying? They're saying, "Oh, crud, uh-oh, we're in trouble now. We didn't treat Joseph well. And now that our father is gone, he may turn on us. He holds all the power. He may be bitter at how we treated him in the past. We're in trouble." And so they are really, really nervous about how Joseph's going to treat them once their father is gone. Honestly, that's what most people might do. And it may be what you and I would do. Maybe that was something we would carry around and look for that great day where we could pay them off and get our revenge. Maybe that's what we'd do. We don't know. But Joseph didn't do that. And he took this opportunity to show us all how to forgive. 18. "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, 'Behold, we be thy servants.' And Joseph said unto them, 'Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive.'" Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a moment. Can you imagine how his brothers felt? They were standing there. They knew what they deserved. They knew what they had done. They didn't think they would ever get caught, but they were caught. It caught up with them. They thought it was something in their past they could just bury, but they had to face what they had done. They knew what they deserved. And instead of getting what they deserved, they experienced something called forgiveness. They received mercy. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. I've done things, and I deserve to be punished. And when someone decides not to give me the punishment I deserve, that's called mercy. I am thankful for God's mercy in my life. You should be thankful for God's mercy in your life. Hey, I don't know about you. There are things in my life I wish I hadn't done. There are days I wish I could take back. There are decisions I wish I could take back. I deserved punishment. I deserved a payback. And instead, I experience God's mercy. That's what these brothers were able to experience. They stood there before Joseph, and he gave them forgiveness and exercised mercy and didn't give them what they deserved, which was punishment. What Joseph says is amazing. What a thing for us to learn. When we show kindness and forgiveness, we, in our way, we are showing other people what God is like. Hey, they know what people are like. They know what we're like. You know, we're apt to pay someone back. But when we exercise mercy and forgiveness, we can show people what God is like. It's a great witness. What Joseph said is amazing. The brothers come in. They're very nervous. You saw the verse. They said that, hey, we're in big trouble here. Joseph can do anything he wants. He holds all the power. So get ready, because we're in big trouble. They didn't know what to expect when they walk in. But Joseph calls them in and said, hey, let's just clear the air. What you did hurt me. You gave me a tougher life. Because of what you did, I was sold to a place where I wasn't from. I was actually sold. I had to go to prison. A chain of events led me, Joseph says, to go to prison. I had a tough time because of what you did. He said, "But here's what I want you to know. God meant that for good. He used it for good. God was able to help a lot of people because of this situation." He said, "Now, I don't completely understand all of it, but I know that God used that for good. He meant it for good. Good came out of it. God did something bigger than my feelings." Lots of times, the decision to forgive is based on that, realizing that God may be doing something bigger than how I feel. Hey, people hurt each other. We do. We're human. We just, you know, sometimes you mean to hurt someone, but sometimes you don't, and you hurt someone, and it's not intentional. But we hurt each other. And if we could just learn to let that go and move on, and realize that it is possible that God is doing something bigger than our feelings, hey, that's a great thing. If you just realize that God is doing something bigger than how I might feel at that moment. Joseph says, so it's okay with you. Let's just move on. We're still going to be a family. You guys will stay in Egypt with me. I'll take care of you. I'll feed you. You can raise your families here. I'm not bitter. He says, don't get me wrong. I got my eye on a couple of you. But we can move on. I forgive you, he says. You know, forgiveness is the bottleneck of most of our relationships that are hurting. There's something there somewhere that someone needs to forgive someone for. Forgiveness. If we could just be a little better forgivers as a church family, a lot of our relationships would be a lot better off. So that's kind of what is holding us up. I talked to Charles Graham about this one time, and he said that, and he goes to a lot of churches. He said the churches that are good at forgiving are the churches that really you can see God working in. Be a good forgiver. Doesn't mean you forget about it. Doesn't mean you understand that the relationship may be a little different and you have to set some boundaries. But just be willing to exercise mercy and move on and do what you can with the relationship. Be a good forgiver. That's what I learned from Joseph. When I can release something like that, I'm getting to the root of the issue. When I can release it, when I can just move on, I'm getting to the root of it. I use that word root for a reason, because the Bible compares bitterness in the book of 1 Samuel to a root. If I carry around the hurt that I feel, that is like a bitterness, an ugly root system that is growing in my heart that's not pretty and keeps me from a good relationship with you. Years ago, Ron and I had just got our first house, and the first thing I did was run and get the best basketball goal I could find, right? Wasn't the best purchase I ever made, but I was very excited. And a lot of my friends played really hard, rough basketball, and I knew they would be dunking on that thing, just hanging on it and dunking on it. And so I wanted to make sure it had a solid foundation. This is going to sound like an exaggeration. It's not. The instructions called for me to dig a hole and put 2 to 3 bags of cement. Mix it up, put 2 to 3 bags of cement, and put the basketball goal in. We use 14 bags. Not kidding. We dug a hole big enough for a base of 14 bags of cement to fill. Well, when we started digging a hole that big, we didn't hit rock. We hit roots. And the tree wasn't close. It was across the driveway, in fact. But we didn't get very far till we hit a very rugged, hard, ugly root system that really caused us problems. And every time I think of that, I think of the story in 1 Samuel where it says that bitterness is like a root system. And every time I read that story, I think of our basketball goal, because that's how it is. Outside, it looked like the perfect place to put that goal. But you start to get a little deeper, and you would never thought there's this rugged, ugly, messy root system there that I didn't expect to find. Hey, that's how I am sometimes. Outside, I'm good. I smile. I say hi to you. And if I don't let go what misunderstanding we may or may not have had, if I don't let that go, it can start growing in there. It can get deep. It can get ugly. It can spread. I've got to deal with that. I've got to deal with that relationship head on and let that go and pray about it and ask God to help me. Ask God what He wants that relationship to be, and not just give it up and hold it back and be mad at you for something you may not even know you did. It's best to get it out and talk about it. Exercise forgiveness, mercy if necessary, and move on. Hey, if we are good forgivers, if we are good at just extending forgiveness and mercy like Joseph showed us, it will do great things for our relationship and for the church. It's a great way to be like Jesus. You know, Jesus was Jesus is the greatest forgiver ever. He took every way I possibly offend him and forgave me when I ask. So he is the perfect example of what it is to be a great forgiver. So when we are good forgivers, we are more like Jesus. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus. I just want to thank you right now for forgiving me. I had a long list I brought to you, Lord. Had a long list, and you were faithful and forgave me. I know you did. I pray if there's anyone here tonight that needs that forgiveness, they would know that you are able to forgive them. There's nothing too big that you can't forgive. There's nothing we've done, no place we've been. You can forgive anything if we ask. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's it. We'll see you next time at the Esquire. We're going to talk about Moses.